Coming up next on the Hugh Jackson Show, brought to you by Elk and Elk, and Coach Jackson breaks down the first win of the season over the Chargers. Jamie Meter talks about the block heard round the world, and Jamar Taylor talks about his successful season since joining the Browns.
So I'm just excited for the opportunity to kind of just start over, try to, you know, resurrect my career, try to be a part of something, you know, bigger than myself.
Hey, Dog Pound, Nathan Zagura alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. It's the Hugh Jackson Show. And coach, it is a victory edition of the Hugh Jackson Show. When you look back now on this first victory, what's the first thing you think of?
Well, I think of our guys. You know, I think of all the hard work that they put in. I think of our fans. I think of the organization. I think of everybody who's connected to Cleveland Brown football. What a great Christmas present. Hopefully that was.
One of the things I want to do is get into your head for a second. Mm-hmm. You're on the sideline. Obviously, a lot's going on. But let's go into your mind some of the critical moments. Mm-hmm. You see Jamie Meter block that field goal. What went through your mind?
Unbelievable that maybe today's our day.
Then we go. They come down there, the third down past the gates. All of a sudden, it's frantic. The clock is ticking. What was going through your mind as they were rushing onto the field? Were you like, miss it? What were you thinking?
I was honestly hoping they didn't even get a chance to get it off. But if they were going to get it off, that he would miss it. Just to preserve the victory and the opportunity for these men who I think deserve it so much. And obviously things felt in our favor.
Okay, so then you see it. It goes wide right. The crowd goes crazy. What were you doing on the sideline?
I'm going to be very honest. I was taking off my coach to quarterback communicator, and I was really excited for the guys. But I was probably a little pissed. Because here it is, week 15, and here we are finally winning a game. Why couldn't we have done that a lot earlier?
You know? Right.
But I was so excited for everybody involved. It was Christmas. It was a great opportunity for our players to experience something that we haven't done all year and to validate the work that these men have put in. I thought that said it all.
Well, and certainly you go into the locker room, somebody that I know has the gift of gab, and yourself was left speechless at that moment. What was that like?
I think you guys know how I feel about Joe. Joe means everything to me, but to watch him, how important that was for him, a guy that's been here for 10 years and been here in the lean years, and to see the emotion that he had, I was overcome with more emotion for him and for our players, because at the end of the day, this is truly all about them, and he needed to experience that victory with his teammates.
I think that was the one thing that really stood out to a lot of people. Joe Thomas, a guy that, as you said, 10-time Pro Bowler, he's been through it all. You could think at some point he gets desensitized to it. To see him crying in the locker room after a win, and he even saying, I don't know why I'm so excited about a win, but it was something bigger than that. Do you think that this is really a turning point for you guys?
I do. You know, I've said all year long that it is bigger than what people know and truly understand. I think we had to really get through the layers of everything that's kind of gone on here, for whatever the reasons were, none of that matters. But I think to lay the right foundation and just keep chipping away every week, we needed a victory to validate some things. But I think our players truly understand where I'm coming from and what we're really trying to build here.
Well, I know I speak for everybody associated with this team and a lot of the fans that I talk to on a daily basis, that we were just so happy that you got that validation for all the hard work you and your staff and the players have put in
this
year.
Thank you very much.
And one of the guys who helped you get there, Isaiah Crowell, couple of touchdowns on the ground. Let's go take a look at those in the Giant Eagle film room.
Let's do it.
Underneath center, it's RG3 from the San Diego 8. They sweep far right side. Here goes Crowell. He's to the 5, and with a little hop, he's in. Touchdown.
Well, nice blocking up front. Nice lead block by Vitale.
All right, Coach, here we are. We get to look at not one but two Isaiah Crowell touchdowns here in the film room. We'll start with the first one.
Okay.
On the 8-yard line here, Did you know pre-snap you had a good look here, and what were you hoping to execute?
Yeah, I did. I knew, you know, from study, if we can get them in base defense, if we motion a tight end over, that they wouldn't change the strength and that we would be going after a guy who's more of a pass rusher, you know, in a run game, and that we could climb up, and that's what we're able to do. As you see, the right side of the line did a great job. We get a chance to knock 54 back with Austin Pastor and Barnage. They do a great job there. The fullback does a great job on the strong safety who shows up and gives us a clear path, you know, to the end zone for Crow. And again, great job by Jonathan Cooper on the block. As you can see from the end zone, he did a good job of finishing number 94. And that's where it starts. You know, all for our success, it starts up front. You got to be able to block people, and we're able to get this done.
And when you're a running back, you like to see a lane like that run through, right?
When you don't get touched, that's a good way to go in.
And for Crow, that was the first one. Didn't get touched. Here's the second one. Mm-hmm. Doesn't get touched either. out of the shotgun formation. What were you trying to show him here? Again, you motion the tight end.
Mm-hmm. So again, I knew that motion the tight end changes strength in certain personnel groups versus this team, and this is one where they would. So that's kind of like an eye distraction, just a little bit, so we can create different levels in the seams of their defense. Because you see the guy goes with Barnage, he goes out with him, so now the guy's looking at Robert, the outside linebacker, 54, trying to determine what Robert's going to do with the ball. We create a cavity inside with Joe Thomas and Spencer Durango, and again, the ball goes walked in untouched.
And it's beautiful when we look at it here from the end zone view. So you called the eye candy, but really what you did is you took 20, who would have been kind of in the way of that run, completely out of the play. 54 is waiting on the read option, and then Crow just gets to cruise right in the
Absolutely. End zone. It is a lot that goes into this. You know, again, I credit my staff and all the hard work we put in, but we're trying to get to a three technique on the backside, as you can see. The more we can push a guy like that with four hands on him and get him pushed back into the linebacker, the better we're going to be.
And there it is. Crow, by the way, 2 touchdowns, now 7 on the season. What makes him so good in these red zone situations?
He has real, true acceleration. You know, he has the speed and quickness and suddenness to get in and out of a hole.
All right. Well, last week there was a big play, a block, something like that. Well, we're going to talk about that with Jamie Meter when we return. Next on the Hugh Jackson Show, the pierogi Prince of Parma talks about the block heard around the world, and Jamar Taylor breaks down why it was so important to him to commit to the Browns.
Man, let me go in here and just, you know, put my head down, put my blinders on and just work. Let my game kind of speak for itself.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zgur alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, and coach Jamie Meter's block. Huge, huge play. When you look back on 2016, is that going to be the first thing that you think about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it gave our team the real opportunity to win the game, and what a tremendous play by him. You wouldn't think that that would be his role, but he gets such tremendous push, and he got skinny for a big guy. Got skinny in there and got a hand up and made a great play.
That's right. They always say the thud is a good thing when you're working
Absolutely.
To block that kick, and he did that, and he talked about that with our Matt Wilhelm in the PNC Bank Play Breakdown.
Hey, it's Matt Wilhelm here with Browns defensive lineman Jamie Meter, and what a great way to get that first win. Just talk about the atmosphere, first and foremost, in First Energy Stadium with a nail-biter going down to the end.
Oh, I mean, it was a nail-biter for sure. I mean, we were all excited. You know, we had to bounce back from the two rushing games that we've had against us, so, I mean, that was our main focus, and, you know, just a great feeling.
What was it like to be on the field, to have the lower bowl full and loud here in Cleveland?
I mean, it was amazing. It was so loud, and we didn't even have a sold-out crowd, and it was just a great feeling, and, I mean, just awesome fans.
We're going to dive into the block now, and I know that, you know, you and Carl Nassib, he kind of pulled out, you know, you caught the inside shoulder on the guy and got the penetration. Just walk us through the mentality that Coach Tabor kind of put you in a situation to make the play that you did.
I mean, Coach Tabes told me what to tell Carl. Tell him to back out, you go forward, and, like, when we're going out there, I was telling Carl that. He was like, wait, you're backing up or I am? And, you know, it's kind of up in the air who's going to do it. I think at first we actually both fired off. Then he backed out and helped me actually to push through.
This is for the tie. And the ball is going to be put down at the 22. Lambeau's ready. Snap back. Ball down. Can't block! They blocked the kick! Jamie Meter blocked the kick! And the Browns lead with 3:45 left. How about that? They may hang on and win, and Jamie Meter got the ball and blocked it.
And I'm sure the Coach Tabor puts in a lot of the time to find that little, you know, something to attack. But is it something that you and Carl had both watched in the meeting and prep to kind of, you know, just build belief in what you guys are going to do so you know exactly how to execute it?
I mean, it all starts with Tabes helping us, honestly. It's him showing us the film, him showing us who we need to attack, and it's Tabes at the bottom of it.
Although it's been a grind to get that first victory, what's it been like to just be with Hugh Jackson every day?
I mean, it's great. He's that whole winning attitude that he brings, and I mean, you're coming here to work, so bring your hat.
I think you are the epitome of the AFC North, and you have the ultimate rivalry coming up this week, taking the trip by bus up to Pittsburgh. I know they might sit a few stars, they may or may not, but what's it going to mean for you guys to get another win, to start to finish this season on a winning streak, but to beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh?
I mean, honestly, it's everything. This is our Super Bowl right now. You know, we got to take this game, win it, and roll into next year.
And last question, 10-time Pro Bowler Joe Thomas has created a nickname for you. Could you please share with the fans what this nickname is?
The Pierogi Prince of Parma. Honestly, it started off with Pastrami Prince of Parma because they thought I was going to open up a deli shop when my football career is over, and then somehow it switched to pierogies.
Got it. Well, Jamie, congratulations on the first win, and good luck against the Steelers.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Coach, how about it? I mean, this is a guy who grew up in Cleveland, who makes the play that gets the win. Did it almost seem like this is a movie script for the way that it happened?
Absolutely. What a fitting ending, you know, in that situation for him. Young player, determined to help turn the organization around, wanted to be out there, has fight and scratched and clawed all year, and he makes one of the biggest plays of our season. I think it was meant to be for him.
Did you ever think you'd coach somebody whose nickname was the Pierogi Prince of Parma?
No, I did not, but I take it. I want that guy on our team.
Yes, you do, and another guy you want on the team is Jamar Taylor, signed up for 3 more years here with the Browns, and he's up next on the Hugh Jackson Show. Next on the Hugh Jackson Show, Jamar Taylor tells us why it was so important to commit to the Browns.
I wanted to get traded. You know, this is kind of what I asked for. This is kind of what I prayed about for so long. And then we said going to the Browns. I'm like, well, you know, it's going to be good.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zgura, head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Hugh Jackson, coach, we talked about Jamar Taylor a little bit last segment. Big interception on Saturday last week. What has he meant to this defense?
He's done a great job. You know, obviously, you know, we got him during the draft from Miami. He's come in here, worked extremely hard, earned the right to be one of our starting corners, has played the nickel position for us too, has made some plays throughout the year, has battled injuries, but wanted to stay out there all the time. And obviously, he makes some huge plays in the game to help us seal victory this past week.
He's had a great season. They say a change of scenery can do you a lot of good, and it certainly has for Jamar Taylor, who talked with Andrew Gribble in Universal Windows Player Spotlight.
All right, we're here at defensive back Jamar Taylor. Jamar, first off, what's the different feel in this building after a performance like you guys had Saturday against the Chargers and that winning feeling getting back in the building?
You know, I think everybody's just happy, but at the same time, everybody knows we have to finish off, you know, this year strong. So we're all just focused on Pittsburgh game, you know, this upcoming week and just trying to end the season, you know, on the right track.
Looking back at the Chargers game, probably one of your better games of the season. You had the interception in the first half, but then the second half, that pass breakup in the end zone.
Really, I mean, I was just covering my guy, seeing the ball. It was just to get the ball. You know what I mean? It's only one ball on the field, but we all have a right to get it. So I wasn't going to let him catch it. I wasn't going to be that guy, you know what I mean? Yeah, we lose the game, you know what I mean, because my guy caught the ball. He came, he kind of like gave me like a little nudge, and I just tried to have to undercut him to make the play. He actually had the ball in his hands, but just kept fighting for it, you know, and that's what this season really just been about, just fighting and just being accountable. So I was just really, you know, trying to make sure he did not catch the ball.
Incomplete! Knocked away in the end zone by Jamar Taylor!
There's a great shot of you on the field when that final field goal goes no good. And I'm just wondering what's going through your head then and just kind of what you've been through this year.
I was more happy for us. I mean, I felt like that game was kind of going back and forth, back and forth. It was really just a tough defensive battle game. So, you know, they got the ball, they started driving. They were moving pretty good. And when their field goal team came, it was like, oh, please block it again, Meter, please block it again. And when he missed, it was like, oh, thank God. It was great. You know what I mean? Great, great feeling, electric feeling, obviously, to kind of get that hump off our back.
Yeah, kind of going back to April, during the draft weekend, you find out that the Browns make a trade to get you here after a few seasons in Miami. What's going through your head then, and kind of what was your focus after that?
It was kind of crazy. I was at my bachelor party at the time, so I kind of picked up the phone. I'm like dead sleep. And Mike Tannenbaum called, like, hey, we're trading you off. Thanks for everything you've done. By, like, I was just like, whoa. You know what I mean? Like, all right. I mean, I wanted to get traded. You know, this is kind of what I asked for. This is kind of what I prayed about for so long. And then he says going to the Browns. I was like, well, you know, it's going to be good. You know, I knew Coach Hugh was successful, you know what I mean, being an offensive coordinator. And he's been, you know, great around the league. I also knew Coach Horton had been great around the league, just kind of paying attention to, you know, coaches. So I was just excited for the opportunity to kind of just start over, try to, you know, resurrect my career. And, you know, try to be a part of something, you know, bigger than myself.
When did you get the feeling that this was going to be different than maybe your first few seasons in Miami?
Well, I knew it right off the bat. You know, just any, you know, when a team, you know, trades where he really means kind of like they want you there. So really, I was just like, man, let me go in here and just, you know, put my head down, put my blinders on and just work. Let my game kind of speak for itself. And, you know, I was just like, hopefully they like me, you know what I mean? And it's been nothing but a blessing, you know, the whole way. It's been a real true blessing just because of where I was at, you know, the past couple of years. But I never doubted myself. I knew I could play this game, and, you know, I can't thank Coach Hugh and the staff enough, you know, for getting me here and just believing in me. You know what I mean? I think when people believe in you, it could change you 100% of the way.
So you talked about the direction of the team. How confident are you it starts for this team in 2017?
I'm real confident, man. Coach says it all the time. It will not be like this next year. And from a guy who's used to winning, you know, I believe everything he says. Because when you first come in as a coach, you have to take what they give you. You kind of have to, like, try to get all these guys kind of work together. We had new guys, me, new DeMario Davis, things like that. You're trying to mitch and match guys, Jamie Collins, you know, to kind of find, like, a team that you want. But I think, you know, now he kind of knows what he has, and now he kind of, you know, put us in the direction that he wants us to go. So I'm real confident, you know, we'll be where we want to be next year.
Would you have thought going into week one that at this point you would have felt as good about the cornerback position going forward as you do now? Because there was a lot of uncertainty, and all of a sudden now you've got Jamar, you've got Brian Boddy Calhoun playing well, and of course Joe Hayden.
You said it. You know, there's a lot of young guys along with Joe. And we all know what Joe is, but we needed some guys to emerge. And we knew getting Jamar, getting Boddy Calhoun here, that it was going to be an opportunity for us to elevate that position, but they needed to do it. And those young men have shown up.
And they certainly have, and they'll get one more opportunity this Sunday in the season finale against the Steelers, and we'll preview that game next. We wrap up the Hugh Jackson Show with a preview of the season finale against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
We need to prepare well and go play well. You know, I don't want last week to just be, you know, a drop in the pan.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zagura, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. One last game. It's time now for the Northeast Ohio BMW Center's game preview. We'll start with the quarterback position. RG3 cleared from the concussion protocol today. Does that mean he's going to be the starter against the Steelers?
Well, there's a good chance. You know, what we'll do is continue to watch him through practice to make sure there's no setbacks. But I'd love to have him go back out there and play again and lead the team and see if we can go get another victory.
When you look at this game, we've heard Mike Tomlin say maybe the three Bs, Ben, Brown, and Bell, aren't going to play. Is it hard to prepare for guys that you really don't have much tape on or haven't seen, you know, in action with this team that often?
You know, honestly not. You know, we're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that says it all. You know, I'll believe it when those guys are not playing because they're still true professionals, and I know they like to be out there. I do understand Mike doing what he thinks is best for his team, but at the same time, we're going to play their football team and their organization, and we need to go put our best foot forward. And I'm not trying to really make it about them. I'm trying to make it about us. Here's our final game.
Yep.
We need to prepare well and go play well. You know, I don't want last week to just be, you know, a drop in the pan. Here we won a game at home. We need to start a streak here, and we need to keep playing. And I think our guys are looking forward to doing that.
Let me ask you this. Was there a difference in practice this week coming off of a win than other weeks?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think our guys handled that part of it right. The one thing we talk about, Nathan, is just process, you know, how we come in the building, you know, and you get 24 hours to really be excited about the win or not feel good about a loss, but then you got to let that go and move on to the next one. And I think our guys have done a great job of that. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. What could be better than that?
That's right. It is on to Pittsburgh. And, you know, you said you got the first win at home. How important would it be to add a win on the road and a win on a division opponent so that when you do get the opportunity next year to go play meaningful games on the road in the division, you already have that feeling of a victory in the back pocket?
Absolutely. You said it. I mean, when we're going to make our biggest hay as we move forward, you know, as an organization and football team, is within our division. That's where you have to win, and we haven't done that yet. So it would be really sweet, you know, to have an opportunity to go play the AFC North champs and beat them in their home stadium to have that lead to something bigger for us a year from now.
What are the keys to get that done?
It never changes. You know, we have to do a great job of taking care of the ball on offense and taking care of our quarterback, and we have to get after their quarterback on defense and take the ball away. And then we got to play very smart special teams. We need to win that battle. If we can do that, we have a chance to come away with a victory.
That's right. Could be two in a row to end the season. Coach, good luck. Would be a great way to start new year in 2017. And good luck on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being with us here on the Hugh Jackson Show. And let's go, Browns.